Turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. All right? Okay, you can stand. Let's stand together. I'm just giving you a chance to be able to stretch a little bit. 1 Corinthians 6. And I could have you do toe touches and things like that, but I won't do that. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. You may be seated. We've been dealing with the will of God, and it's important. Now, we know that God wants us to understand His will. It's very important. It makes us wise, according to Ephesians 5, verse 17. Understanding God's will is the goal of the Christian life. That's why Colossians 4, 12 talks about that Epaphras prayed and labored fervently that they would be perfect and complete in the will of God. Now think about that. That is God's purpose for us. Understanding God's will helps us in our prayer life because if we know what His will is, when we pray according to His will, according to 1 John 5:14, He hears us. So that's why it's important for us to know God's will. Understanding God's will help us to do His created purpose for us, because it's by His pleasure or by His will that we are created, Revelation 4:11. So, finding God's will and doing it, this is what we had dealt with. So it's one thing to know what you need to do, it's another thing to do it. God has to reveal His will to us, Ephesians 1:9. God wants us to understand His will, Ephesians 5:17. God expects us to do His will, Hebrews 10:36. And then in Hebrews 13:21, God gives us the ability to do His will. And if you remember, we saw that it's God who makes us perfect in every good work and will. So it's God that's going to have to do it. So when we talk about God's will, if you remember, we saw that it has to do with the fact that God has a purpose and a plan for us. And so God has told us what He wants. So when we go to Scripture, we can find out exactly what He wants. He tells us, for instance, that we should pray. So we know it's God's will to pray. We are told in God's Word to study, to show ourselves approved. So we know it's God's will for us to study. We know it's God's will for us to go to church, because He tells us, as Pastor Nathan preached Sunday night, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So there are certain things that we know are God's will. Now, we also saw that God's will sometimes is revealed to us by not necessarily a stated statement in the Scripture, but because He shows us through principles in His Word what we ought to do. Now, a principle is a basic truth that applies to all areas of life. So we want to make sure that we understand what God's principles are. And we illustrated that in Exodus 20, with the commandment, thou shalt not covet. We illustrated that through the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And we saw that illustrated when Jesus said the two greatest commandments are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then your neighbor as yourself. He says, on that all the law hangs. So the principles of God's Word. So, we mentioned last time that there is this principle that we ought to apply. So if we want to know what God would have us to do, we ought to apply, and we mentioned last time, the principle of faith. The principle of faith. Romans 14:23 says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if I am not absolutely sure of something, I need to hold off on that. So sometimes you have to make a decision, right? And that decision that you have to make, you're saying, well, I don't know if I should do it or not do it. Well, it's until you know what you should do, then it's best not to do it. Now, but what if you have a deadline? And someone says, you got to know this decision now. Or you need to know this decision 2 weeks from now. Or 2 months from now. Well, the fact is that at that point, you have time to maybe spend some time trying to make sure that what you are going to do is it is something that you should do. But what happens when you come to that deadline and you're still not sure? Well, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And we dealt with the fact of the conscience. And the conscience, we can have a weak conscience, which is a conscience that is weak in faith. That's the idea there. And a weak conscience is sometimes an uneducated conscience. Sometimes what we end up finding out is what we are going to do or wanting to do, we find out that, you know, well, maybe I should go ahead and do it. Well, you're going against your conscience when you do that. And that creates a defiled conscience. And a defiled conscience is something that is, that's a terrible thing to have, folks. Everyone look at me here. It is terrible to have a defiled conscience. Because when you go against what you know is right or what you believe is right, then you will, in many ways, cause your conscience to be hardened. He that is, who is often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, the proverb says. So, you show me somebody who is constantly violating his conscience, and I'll show you somebody who is really on the road to destruction. And that's why the scripture tells us about a seared conscience. All right? So all of that's review. All right? Now I've got 20 minutes to give you my message tonight. And because I flew through those things doesn't mean every one of those points weren't important. But that's what happens when you miss church. You don't get all the details. So it's important that you understand what God wants from you. So we dealt with the principle of faith. Tonight, I want to deal with the principle of harm. The principle of harm. Because sometimes we have to ask ourselves, could this thing that I'm wanting to do, could it hurt me? Could it somehow be detrimental to me physically? Now, most of you who are listening, I say most, I don't know if all, but most of you who are listening, you could probably quote 1 Corinthians 6:19. Because there's the principle. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now glorify God in your what? In your body. Now, the context here has to do with fornication, sexual sin. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So he is telling us, okay, it's wrong to be involved in immoral or sexual sin. But then he gives the principle, because it's wrong to do anything that is going to hurt your body. And he tells us why, because we need to glorify God in our bodies. And something I have to always remind myself of as a Christian, that, you know, God has a message that he wants to be delivered through me. And you too, if you're a Christian. But if you harm your body, you may not get that message delivered. There was an old parable that said there was a man with a horse. And the man with the horse had a message to deliver. But the man not taking care of the horse caused the horse to die, and the message never got delivered. Now, it's a parable. So in other words, if you hurt your body, you are hindering your ability to glorify God, whether it be through your message or whether it be through your testimony, through your life. So the principle of harm involves these things that we ask ourselves, will it harm the body? Now, here's an interesting thing. I learned this very early in my Christian life. The Bible says nothing about tobacco. At least I don't know. Now, we're told that Sarah, she got off her camel. She lit off her camel or something like that. But that's just a little play on words. Now, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. You say, okay, is it okay to smoke cigarettes? This used to be a big problem when we first started our church. Now, it still could be a problem sometimes, but I don't know of it as much. Understanding in the 80s, when I came to the ministry, everybody smoked. And at least that's what it seemed like. But I never smoked. You know why? Especially after I became a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I didn't smoke because I wanted to play sports. And I wanted to destroy my body while I'm playing sports. But after I was a Christian, I realized I should not harm my body. Now someone says, well, how does smoking affect the body? I'm glad you asked. Medical News Today, I just pulled these up. These are easy to find. It causes, smoking cigarettes causes lung damage. My brother just died. You know why? Because he wouldn't quit smoking. A couple years ago. It causes heart disease. It can damage the heart, blood vessels, and blood cells. It can cause fertility problems, and there's a whole article on this. It can cause, it can cause a weakened immune system, not to mention poor oral hygiene, unhealthy skin and hair. So, you know, there's a reason why the Surgeon General said, it used to say on a cigarette package that smoking can be hazardous to your health. And now it says smoking has been determined to be, the Surgeon General has determined that smoking is hazardous to your health. So, I could ask the question, okay, is it wrong for Christians to smoke cigarettes? You know what my answer to that is? Absolutely. You should not harm your body. Another thing that seems to be coming up, and this is a lot going on in our Christian circles, it has to do with alcohol. Okay, now, we understand that drinking alcohol is damaging. I have an article here by the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Alcohol's effect on the body. Drinking, and I want to read this, and I'm going to read it as it says it, and I want to then come back and qualify this. Drinking too much on a single occasion or over time can take serious toll on your health. Here's how alcohol can affect your body, your brain. Alcohol interferes with the brain's communication pathways and can affect the way the brain looks and works. It affects the heart. Drinking a lot over time or too much on a single occasion can damage the heart, causing problems, including, and it talks about cardiac problems, stroke, high blood pressure, liver, heavy drinking. My dad died with cirrhosis of the liver because he drank. He drank a lot. And heavy drinking takes a toll on the liver, and it can kill you. It can affect your pancreas, affects your can cause cancer. But what I'm finding very amazing these days is that people are saying, "Well, what's wrong with social drinking?" All right. Now I have another article. Again, these are not hard to find. I just came up. I wrote in my search engine, what are the dangers of social drinking? And I came up with this article that social drinking can, your social drinking put you at risk. Well, it defines social drinking. The drinker consumes somewhere between 1 and 14 alcohol drinks per week, as opposed to a binge drinker who drinks and consumes more than 4 alcohol drinks within 2 hours. And then there's alcoholism. Alcoholism, the drinker consumes alcohol in a wide variety of manners, from daily binging to a single drink. Now, he gives these definitions, but listen to his conclusion. What these definitions show us is that both occasional drinkers and binge drinkers can also become alcoholics. And occasional drinkers, he goes on and says, can be hidden alcoholics. Occasional drinkers can be hidden alcoholics. And other risks that are associated with social imbibing, even if the drinker never develops alcoholism. So, in other words, again, it can affect the heart, the fertility, arthritis, and so forth. So, that's a worthy study to be done, but the point is, someone says, well, I don't see anything wrong with social drinking. Well, there's a lot of problems that are wrong with social drinking, but one of the problems has the fact that it can harm your body. So, this principle of harm is very important. Now, not only do we have to be alert to the fact that things can hurt our bodies, we also have to realize we need to be alert to the fact that some things harm our minds. All right? Now, if you go over to the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8, it tells us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what's the word? Think on these things. So the Bible tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We're told that Job, I think it's chapter 31, says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Therefore, why should I even think on a maid? Jesus said that if a man looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart, he hath committed adultery already. So we understand that there are things that we have to guard our minds with. You say, is it wrong to get on the internet? Well, it would be if you can't guard your mind. Is it wrong to watch television? Well, it would be if you cannot guard your mind. So, you know, we think of pornography. Do you realize the damage that is happening into our society right now is because of the influences of pornography? I have an article here, and again, we're running out of time, but this is the mental effects of porn. Mental effects of pornography. And it goes on and it talks about some of the risks is social isolation, withdrawing from social activity, developing a secret life, living and deceiving others. You're hiding what you've been watching. You become very self-centered. You choose porn over people. That's a social isolation. Another, it has to do with mood disorders, feeling irritable, feeling angry and depressed, experiencing mood swings, pervasive anxiety and fearfulness, feeling powerless in relationship to porn. And this isn't just a man problem, this is a woman problem too. Sexually objectifying other people, engaging in risky, dangerous behavior. Sexual problems, especially with your spouse. Self-loathing because of this guilt. Neglecting important areas. So in other words, there's a real mental problem. Now, someone said, well, I don't watch pornography. I just look at the soft stuff. And it's an interesting thing that what you find is that the things that are on television, I mean, I've been preaching against this for years. And someone said, well, that's not pornography. Well, let me just, this isn't hard to find. I have something here that talks about four TV shows that are just basically porn. And I'm not going to read you the name because I don't want you to go there. Another article, 25 TV shows with so much nudity, Game of Thrones looks tame. Which was, well, I told you I wasn't going to name them. Okay. 15 British TV shows that have shocking amounts of nudity in them. Do you realize what's happening? Remember I talked about a defiled conscience? You know what's going on? People are getting so used to seeing the absurd that it does not become absurd anymore. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, okay, is it wrong for me to watch that show? There's no verse in the scripture that said, thou shalt not watch, and I've never seen the, what is it called? Game of Thrones. I won't even ask you if you've ever seen it. But they say that's pretty bad stuff. Well, where in the Bible does it say you can't watch Games of Thrones? Whatever it's called. Is that right? Game of Thrones. Well, here's my question. Will it hurt you mentally? You say, oh no, I can watch that stuff. Doesn't bother me. Is that because there's nothing wrong with it, or have you become hardened and defiled in your conscience? That's a very important question. And it's interesting that one mentioned 25 shows with so much nudity makes Game of Thrones look tame. It goes on and says Netflix has done so much for on-screen nudity. So we have to ask ourselves as Christians, see? Now, of course, unsaved people see no problem with this stuff. The edgier, the better. But we do have to ask ourselves a question. Is this going to hurt me? Is it going to hurt me physically? Is it going to hurt me mentally? And I don't have time to deal with it tonight, but along with this, and we'll see this in connection with our next principle, will it hurt me spiritually? But there is a principle of Scripture. Do not allow yourself to do anything or say anything or be in any event or any job or anything that's going to hurt you physically, and that is going to hurt you mentally. And then, of course, spiritually. All right? Any questions? That's kind of a pretty heavy Wednesday night mini message. Now, Father, we ask that you would help us, guide us, direct us, help us to be wise. Help us to know what your word says so that when we talk about whether we are doing things because we are convinced that it can be done, help us to understand that just saying that we're convinced it can be done, does it affect us in our bodies and in our minds and in our relationships? Now guide us, Lord. Protect us for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.